Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 52, Self-Care Under Lockdown. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. Did I ever think I was going to do a podcast about triathlon with that as the title?
Well,
no.
Even a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't have imagined it. That life has changed ridiculously, hasn't it?
Yeah, so we should probably put a bit of a disclaimer out straight away, Gerard. So I'm in my bedroom. You're in your office.
I'm not in your bedroom.
You're not in my bedroom. You're about 700 meters up the road in your office, and we're embracing technology in an effort to produce a podcast that maybe give some advice and a few hints and tips, and at worst kills 40 minutes of the next 4 weeks whilst we're under lockdown.
And look, like everything that we're doing, it's meant to be practical. We want to give you some actual things that you can take away and do. So let's see if we can deliver on that.
Yeah, and it's a challenging time for everybody in New Zealand, no matter what you do, where you are, what job you do, your family status.
Yeah.
We've all got lots of challenges. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those, but you know, with a leaning towards those that are maybe still trying to carry on that triathlon part of their lives.
Yeah, well, I think it's an important part of what we're doing. We'll talk a bit more about this as we go into it, but it is part of our lives. So we want to continue some normality with that. What about just the last week? How obviously things have changed a lot, and we've had to shift to home, be in lockdown, get set up for work if you can be. But how's that transition been for you and your family?
Yeah, it seemed to have gone okay. The company I work for, we started working from home Monday of last week, so. Mm. We were kind of a little bit ahead of the game. That was a decision made by the management, so there wasn't quite the rush. We had, we're guilty of having, not stockpiled, but we went out and bought a few things that we maybe wouldn't usually have bought.
Yeah.
We by chance, we actually had a freezer delivered, which now lives in the garage. Now, there was a good reason for that, but I just never got round to it. And hey, now was as good a time as any. So, yeah, it's full of frozen, you know, a few extra bits of milk and some pizza and all that kind of stuff, just in case you need something. But
well I'm not going to count down this week. I'm coming to your place.
Yeah, I might. There will be a queue at my house, just like there is at Countdown. But yeah, just trying to think back. There's not a novelty to it, but it's something new, and you go through the process. But I can certainly vouch for the fact that the novelty has worn off already. You know, you have a lot of time to think about what the future will be like, and that's not just the next 4 weeks, it's the next 4 months, next couple of years potentially for some people and their businesses. Getting all very serious here, but you know, we settled in. The school the girls are at pulled the like everybody, the school holidays have been pulled forward a week, so
yep.
Friday was their last day at school, but of course, they're now stuck, indoors, but in the general surroundings with no ability to go and catch up with their mates. And I think that's the biggest thing for them. They're happy to watch Netflix now and then, play a game, but they like to spend time with their mates. And me, similar, you know, we're social beast humans. And as much as you can wave at someone, you know, across the road or through a window, it's not quite the same. What about you, mate?
Well, the transition's been pretty straightforward for us because, hey, I work at home anyway. Like you said, the girls are on school holidays now. Kirsten's working from home at a small desk from right behind me. So we have to, we've got a whiteboard with who's got phone calls and meetings when and who's going to vacate. But like, kind of like you said too, it was the first couple of days we were laughing and it was all feeling like a bit of an adventure. And the reality of that wore off pretty quickly, especially with a really crappy weekend worth of weather. And I think that we are, both of us and a lot of other people out there listening to this podcast, are in a very privileged position, I guess, that we can carry on working from home. There's still income coming in. And for a lot of us, our kids are old enough to look after themselves, that if you had a handful of kids, primary school age, running around while you're trying to do work or being unemployed, it'd be some pretty bloody tough times. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and there's other people, even without children, but if you're in rented accommodation, there's only so many jobs you can do around the house. There's people who are in a house or an accommodation on their own, whether they're elderly or whether they just happen to be, they might have had flatmates, but the flatmates headed back to their parents for the lockdown. I think sort of spare a thought for those that don't have somebody that they can just walk over to and sit down and have a chat to.
All right, enough doom and gloom for now. We'll come back to some of that. What are some of the good things, actually? Because there are, believe it or not, there are positives about what we're doing right now in the situation. And go, long list.
The coffee and beer are cheaper.
Too true.
There are some things. You talked about sort of working efficiency, or there's no commute for a starter. I'm in a sales role, IT sales role, and the business is already heading downwards. Some of the businesses I dealt with are in lockdown and have pretty much closed until further notice. They're not essential services, so they have very little interest in procuring new hardware or software solutions. Part of our business is around mapping. That has been incredibly busy because all of central government, the ministries are looking to, as you can, to tell a picture about COVID. What better than using a map?
Yeah.
So some of those areas of the business are busy. But I'm on the kitchen table and I'm responding to emails and available and answering calls and dealing with a few customer queries. But it's pretty quiet. But hey, it's
so, nice so to be in, right? Having that time, are you able to make use of it with something?
Yeah, so there's always something to be learning about. So we take on new products every now and then, and there's always something online to study or seminars to watch, that kind of thing. So if I'm not exactly in the act of trying to sell something, I might as well be learning about a new product that'll be part of the portfolio when time when we're back into normal, if I can call it that.
Yeah.
Jim, my wife's she's very, very busy. And so she has the sort of almost proper office in the front room. So I kind of just move around from flat surface to flat surface, whereas she's fully set up. But hey, it's nice to be at home and not have to do the commute. But again, back to that lack of social contact, that's a real toughie.
Yeah. What about just the fact that you are all forced to be at home as a family? Are there positives in that? Or are you ready to kill each other already?
They are my family. I love them dearly. What's interesting is with my wife, Gemma, being, she goes into that front room and she's kind of there from 8 in the morning until 5 in the evening. So it is go, go, go. And she expects at some point it will start to peter off, but right now it's still pretty busy. And as you alluded to earlier, Gerard, the girls are 15 next month, so are pretty self-sufficient, whether it's entertaining themselves, making themselves lunch. So I'm not really required. Yep. Again, if you're looking after a 2, a 4, and a 6-year-old, I think you might have just about lost the plot. It's great for them to be there, and even if Jim comes out for a coffee, it's nice to sit down and have a coffee with her
I've noticed that too, that we kind of at meal times we all happen to end up in the kitchen making lunch around about the same time, probably because you hear one person and that goes, oh, it's lunchtime, must get some food. So we've got those constant moments through the day where we're bumping into each other and having laughs and just taking moments together, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand that people, although we're all in close proximity, they at times they're going to want a little bit of time on their own as well.
Especially teenage girls.
Yes, indeed. Moving away from that subject, because we're getting all sorts of trouble. One of the good things is around following the training schedule is within reason, can kind of do it whenever I want through the day. You know, if there's a 45-minute run, you know, have a look at the diary. If there's a gap where there's no phone calls because there are no face-to-face meetings, then, yeah, off I go.
Fantastic. And, yeah, that wasn't so useful on the weekend when it was absolutely tipping down with rain, but a day like we got outside, and I passed you down the street earlier on. Doug was out for a run, and I was coming back from the supermarket and gave him a toot, and I saw him coming, gave him a toot. I was like, oh, there's Doug, can tell how he runs. And I got close, like, no, that's some old guy. No, that's Tom Hanks off Castaway. Your ability to grow a beard is phenomenal. I'm so impressed.
If you weren't going to qualify the fact that you went past me and you were in a car, I was going to pull you up on that to start with. But, you know, you've got to look out for the cars because you're taking these wide berths off the footpath as people look at you and observe the 2 meters. And, but I have that. That's goes back to one of the good things about lockdown, no shaving.
And like you just said as well, there's so few cars on the road, there's a lot of room, and it's actually peaceful out there if you're just running around the local streets, and you can run on the road if the footpath's a bit crappy.
A little, you know, look over the shoulder. I think most people observe the right, you know, that if you're walking towards the traffic, then you should be the one that goes onto the road, and everyone seems to be getting that one figured out. But it is some, you know, the nod, the smile, the how are you, but certainly the 2.5 to 3 meter gap is being adhered to.
But again, all those people, everyone is acknowledging each other and saying hi, whether you know them or not out there. It's kind of this thing of we're all in this together. And when I've been out running or been walking, see so many families out walking together, because it's the only opportunity to get out and do something. There's no going down to the beach, no taking the bikes for a ride. So there's a lot of people, in their family bubbles, spending more time together doing those kind of things.
Yeah, and spending more time locally, because as you say, previously they might have, you know, got in the car and gone around to, Eastbourne or driven to Scorching Bay or whatever the case may be. But now it's, family bubble inside the NIO bubble.
Yeah. And look, I would hope, looking forward, we don't really know what the future brings yet, but this experience that everyone's going through, I would hope that there is some perhaps changes in how we work as families, as society, community groups, even workplaces. Working from home suddenly becomes, well, actually we've just done it for ages. Maybe it is possible for a lot more people. It'd be really interesting to see all of the longer term learnings and positives and changes that come out of it.
Yeah. And there'll be some positive things. There'll be some things that have happened that have made it, that it'll allow us to make decisions in a different way.
Yeah.
But the downsides are still there, aren't they?
And it's there probably are a few, aren't there?
A little bit. There's going to be some tough stuff. As you said, a positive, spending time with, you know, wife and children. Downside, spending time with wife and children.
There's going to be those moments, isn't there?
Yeah, I think if we record this in about 3 weeks' time, the response might be slightly different.
Yeah, totally. There's also, you mentioned earlier, there's people in our squad, people that we know, who are living alone. They are much more socially isolated, and that's really tough. One of the things that Kirsten, my wife, came across quite early on, because my mother and sister are in that situation in Auckland, and Kirsten came across the fact that two people living alone, they can actually form a bubble. And so if you're within the same, I guess, geographic area, you can go over to each other's houses. You can spend time together. You can have that social contact, that face-to-face time that families would be getting, so long as it is just the two of you. So
yeah, my dad's partner lives, that they don't live together, but they've been together for about 5 years, but haven't lived together. He took some convincing, as you do at almost 83 years of age. But yeah, he's gone to stay with her
right
for 4 weeks or however long, which is great, because as much as he does enjoy his own company, I think just having someone around is just so important. So, and for those that can't, you know, if everyone just has a little bit of a think about someone who might be on their own, or you know are on their own, just drop them a note, give them a call. Just check on how they're getting on.
Stay in touch.
A 20-minute chat makes a difference.
Yeah. How's your cabin fever been with just being inside so much recently?
Not too bad at the moment. I think when the weather was like it was over the weekend, it's not so bad. Having the exercise to do and doing the training during the day, that kind of fills a little bit of a gap and you get out the house. Mm. Depending how long this lasts, obviously we've got, the clocks are going to change in next weekend. So the evenings will get a little bit darker. But, so far so good. My lawn's going to look amazing in 4 weeks. I'll be trimming it with scissors and all sorts. But, touch wood, I can find enough things to sort of keep the brain ticking over when the body's not doing some training.
Yep, great. Other downsides?
There is always the challenge of the presence and location of food and beverage.
Yes.
You don't even have to pay for it because you already have. we're all training, when some of us are not quite sure what we're training for, bearing in mind how things play out. But yeah, it's a bit easy for it to be bare o'clock at 3 o'clock every day of the week.
Yep.
Rather than maybe just on a Friday and a Saturday. And there's not the workplace distraction of sort of busyness and other people going on. Mm. And then you have a moment, you think, I'll just go grab a biscuit or some of that leftover pizza in the fridge. Yeah.
It is boredom eating, isn't it? It's either conscious or unconscious. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So it's quite it is a test, actually. There's something that you could focus, as a bit of a goal or a bit of a target, is to discipline yourself to still eat appropriately under what are quite challenging circumstances.
Well, there you go then. Let's talk about, look, we know there's going to be plenty of downsides as we go on and figure more of this out, but how are we going to deal with some of those? What can we do to make this as smooth and, what's the word, not productive, but just help us survive it the best we can?
Yeah, I think you've got to use the word normal, Gerard. It's just trying to, yes, it's different, but let's try and treat it as normally as we can. And I think something that's really important, and you talk about it from a training perspective, is structure.
Yeah.
If you're not quite as busy work-wise as you were, maybe don't use that as a reason to sleep until 10 in the morning.
Mm.
You haven't got swim squad. I'm not going to get up at 5:30 just because I haven't got swim squad, but, get up at a normal time, do schedule your training in your diary, just because you can do it whenever you want. Plan the next 2 or 3 days out in advance.
Yep.
So you know what's happening. And I think it's important to have those just things in your diary at a fixed time that keep you focused.
Yeah, the structure and the routine. And the end of last week, while the girls were still doing online school, that was great for our girls. They still set their alarms for the same time, still got up at the same time, had breakfast, got things ready for the school day to start. And that's great for them because they have got a specified point at which their day starts. For some of us, a bit more flexibility maybe the first phone call or meeting isn't till mid-morning. You're right, it's too easy just to sleep in and not do much. But I think, if you can maintain some of those disciplines that you've got around normal life, bring them into this, it's just going to make it more normal and help pass the time that we've got here.
Yeah, and I think you're lucky in the sense of the next thing I was going to mention is try and separate, and you talked about this, separate work and home. Yeah. Not easy when you're working in your home. But Jim, my wife's got this little office set up. We even got some cardboard from the freezer that we purchased just to put sort of go around the outside of her desk. So she almost feels like she's at a pod at work.
Right.
You walk out the front door down the stairs to your office, you're at work then.
Yeah.
Not so easy, me working on the kitchen table or on the breakfast bar is blurring the lines a little bit. If there is a way that you can, I don't know, walk out the front door, go around the block and then walk in the back door and start working.
Honestly, because I found over time working from home is that I was always rushing to finish off some work, to, when the girls were younger, take them off to some after school activity, go to the supermarket, get back, make dinner, finish off my work, that they all blended into one. And I found exactly that, that if you just take this, make this extra 5 minutes to go consciously, okay, work is finished, walk around the block, actually do something physical, do your strength challenge, take the 5 minutes then to do it. But it's that, just to break up those two spaces that would otherwise really blur together.
Yeah. And again, I'm not the best example, but Jem, you know, she was on the email at 7:30 one morning, just because that's when she woke up, and she was still at her laptop. Yes, there'd been some breaks, but at sort of 7:30 that evening.
Yeah.
Yep. Discipline and structure around the start of the working day, but as you just alluded to, finish the day.
Yeah.
And treat it as if you've left the office.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too easy to sort of sneak back and say, oh, I'll just finish off that document or that proposal or respond to some of those emails. So,
yep.
Yeah. And, right. And again, something you talked about to me was try and make the weekends different.
Yeah.
Not just day 6 and 7 of the week.
Mm.
You know, otherwise every day is going to start to feel the same.
Yep. Yep. Totally. And, we're used to maybe doing some bigger training on the weekend. That's when we're out there doing more. So, hey, is whether it be an extra long trainer session or a long run, or maybe you just do an extra walk on it, that make sure, see if you can maintain some of your bigger training on those weekend days to help fill those times. Because if you're working at home, you're filling some time with that. On the weekends, you've got a bit more time to fill. And those could be some very long days if you don't have a lot going on.
Yeah, and some people have talked about, you know, odd jobs and projects around the house.
Yeah.
And if you can, and it's not easy, leave those for the weekend when you would normally have time to do them.
Yeah.
Don't do them on a Tuesday afternoon because you had a couple of conference calls cancelled. Otherwise, again, you know, every day, Groundhog Day will kick in. Every day will be a day of sleeping in, answering a few phone calls, doing some emails, doing a bit of a job around the house, doing some training. And you won't know the difference between Wednesday and Sunday or Tuesday and Saturday.
And that could start to feel quite endless, I reckon, if that's how it goes.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So definitely still maintain beer o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I think that's an important part of the routine.
You say it as if I need convincing, Gerard. And there's probably some other, you know, when you think about some of those challenging moments, not something I do a lot of, but, you know, sort of relaxation and meditation, good ideas, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of people who know about the Headspace app, which helps with all of that. And it just plays you a recording to help you control your breathing, relax the mind, empty the mind, and just stay present in that very moment there. There's a heap of those kind of apps out there, and they're brilliant. Again, it's something to fill the time with, but it's also, it's a new discipline that you can learn, and it really helps you to stay present and to learn, to calm the mind and not be thinking too far ahead. Because
that probably helps with sleeping as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I talk a lot about, in races, if you're doing a half Ironman or Ironman, is you're always going to have ups and downs, and you've got to forget things that have happened in the past in your race, and you can't think too far ahead because you don't know what's going to happen. And this situation is exactly the same. It's okay. Mm. This moment in time, how can I make the most of this? What's the best that I can do with this? Stay present. Don't overthink the future. Just do the things that you can do right now.
Yeah. And another thing that you talked about a lot, and I know Miriam from the squad is a big fan of this, is the word gratitude.
Yeah.
We're going through a tough time, but there are people, plenty of people in the world going through a much tougher time.
Yeah.
So just be, you know, grateful for your family, your friends, you know, roof over your head. And, you know, I'm sure all of us have got plenty of people looking out for us if something did go a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
Sort of as a group and as a bunch of friends and mates, we certainly can get through this, you know. And there will be people who need a little bit more support than others. just be conscious of that, and not that I'm any expert, but look out for those people that I think it might be a line that's out there. It's all right to ask, are you okay?
Yeah, too right. And for maybe if you've got a family, then each night over dinner is just do a round table of what are you grateful for today? If you are someone living alone, maybe you even post it on Facebook or just write yourself a journal, but a way of explicitly bringing it out, it really does make a difference over time.
Yeah. And if you're really stuck for something to do, just subject your children to all those movies that you liked when you were 13 or 14 or 15. Yeah, we've already started that, but yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
All right. So we've talked about some upsides, downsides, some things we can do, but thinking outside the box, what are some opportunities that we've got here? And one of my favorite opportunities is, I don't think, I love the concept, not sure everyone has cottoned onto it yet, is learn to love cooking. And it seems like kind of a crazy thing because we all cook in some ways, but a lot of people actually really don't enjoy it, or they think they're quite uncreative. They don't know what to make. Where's the inspiration? And I think this is an amazing opportunity. While you've got this time at home, you can plan meals, you can pick ingredients, you can get what you want mostly. And you can go through that process of exploring and trying new things and finding ways to love it. Might be reading recipes online, actually getting inspiration from those things and going, oh, seeing photos, wow, that looks amazing. See if I can recreate that. There's a huge opportunity.
Yeah. And we are a little bit time poor not as a generation, but some of us a bit time poor. So we go for those fast and furious, easy to cook things.
Yeah.
One thing we do have a lot of now is time on our hands.
Absolutely.
Maybe even depending on the age of your children, get them involved, get them to pick something and then either make it themselves or with you.
Yeah.
One that you did, I mentioned this to you about sort of snacking during the day.
Mm.
And because there's a bit more time available in the morning, you suggested something, a breakfast that's a little bit more protein-based, bit of slow release, and psychological or physical, I'm not sure, it seems to have worked. You know, I'm actually having my breakfast a little bit later,
mm-hmm.
Rather than sort of having to ram it down and get in the car and get to work.
Yep.
And certainly last, you know, not really feeling like I need lunch till about 1 o'clock. And usually I'm about 11:45, I'm already starting to chew my arm off. So,
right.
Yeah. Just doing a couple of three eggs, scrambled eggs on a little bit of toast. And that seems to be getting me through. So, you know, it's an opportunity to try something a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. There's obviously, we talked before about projects around the house, and there's going to be, could be a lot of very clean houses by the end of this, but the chance to,
it's just with windows, weatherboards. I'll be polishing the nails in my front fence before you know it.
But the what an opportunity to declutter things as well. If you've been meaning to for years and years, if you've got wardrobes full of stuff or a garage full of stuff, just you've got the time to, particularly on a weekend, to sit there and go through that and just pull things out one by one, decide what you're going to do with them. Because right now, or in a few weeks once we're out of this, there's going to be people without things. So if you can get together a collection of things that you're not using anymore, hey, you're making some space in your house and your life, getting rid of those, but you can get into people who would really value those and make use of them.
Yeah, and one thing that could do with a good tidy up, but I'm not sure anybody else would want to make use of it, is most of the people listening to this will have a drawer full of old, smelly triathlon gear.
Yeah.
If that running t-shirt hasn't been used in the last 2 years, it's gotta go.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's a good idea. I'm sure people have got garages, spare rooms, cupboards that could do with a bit of a tidy up. Some of those bigger projects might be a little bit of a challenge because I think some of the hardware stores are only open to trade.
Yeah.
So don't start thinking you're going to build yourself a deck out the back and then feel you find you're short of wood and timber or concrete. So
don't tear down the old fence just yet. The other, I think, big opportunity is the connection between people. And again, with a bit more time on our hands, already I've heard lots of people talking about doing virtual drinks on a Friday afternoon or virtual social activities, doing it over video conference. And even if it's not that, but just actually staying in touch with people. Because I know from my point of view, with a busy week, weekend with training and social activities and things going on, there's people that I haven't been in touch with for a long time who I'd love to be in. And this is a great opportunity to do it for, again, just pass the time for us, but reestablish some of those old connections and make sure that the people who might be on their own or might be in situations where they're not getting so much support, that we can do that for them.
Yeah, and there's plenty of apps out there. We're using Zoom, and we use Zoom on Saturday evening. There were four couples we were due to get together. It had been in the diary for ages. Obviously, didn't happen, but it worked perfectly. And we spent about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes chatting and chuckling away, and wasn't too much talking over the top of each other. And it was, all good fun. And it's maintaining those social connections are so important for your mental health. Yeah. And that flows to your physical health, because if your mental health starts to go on a bit of a downer, the enthusiasm for a run or a trainer session or a certain number of pull-ups posted by somebody at 6:30 in the morning, it goes out the window. So we will all have our moments, as Gerard, you said, around, you know, it's like a race. There'll be those moments where you think, oh, why? We're all going to experience those, no matter how gregarious, outgoing, and full of life we usually are. There'll be moments where we're challenged. I just want to make sure that everybody doesn't feel afraid to reach out and give someone just drop someone a note if you need to have a chat. I think we would all understand why.
Yeah, no, so true. All right. So look, we've probably rattled on for enough. I think it's really important through this, the things that we touched on, just to remember there are good things about this lockdown. There are some positives. We know there's plenty of downsides, but there's the opportunities to do something. We've got extra time, different situation going on. So let's make the most of it. Let's not just waste it and wallow in it. When we come out the other side, we are possibly even better people for it, or at least really keen and enthusiastic to get back towards normal life.
Very well said, sir. And you've done a marvellous job with all this technology. So, you look after your family and look after yourself, and I'll no doubt see you and go past you with a 2.5 meter sort of curve sometime over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Look forward to seeing how that beard develops.
All the best, mate.
Thanks, Doug.